Yo, 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 what's good, everybody? Another version of the Hammer Fist right back at you. We got a Wednesday card here, UFC Fight Island 1. Let's get straight to it. It's going to be a real quick podcast this week. Pretty much going to get straight to it, not going to do too much breaking down, just going to kind of give you the plays and tell you why I like them real quick, and then we'll keep moving. We've had some crazy stuff, some cancellations and all that kind of stuff. One of the fights got canceled, we took that one off the board. And we had one person miss weight. We've had just some weird stuff going on. Let's get to it. Let's see here. I believe we still have 11 fights this week. Yep, I believe we still have 11 fights this week. Starting off with the Jack Shore Aaron Phillips fight. This is going to be a bantamweight fight. Jack Shore is actually going to be the biggest favorite on the card. Currently, he's sitting at minus 770. Today I'm using DraftKings Sportsbook, their odds, but currently he's sitting at minus 770. This fight does have a minus 250 inside the distance, so if we're just going to look at the numbers here, it's pretty much going to tell us that Jack Shore is going to win this and finish it early. He does average about, close to 5 takedowns per fight too, so I mean, he's just, this is going to be the pick here. He's probably going to be super chalky here. He is 9,400. He's, I think, the second most expensive, if not the most expensive fighter on the card now. Then you got Aaron Phillips coming back at 6,800. I just don't see where he has a path to victory here. Not much more to break down. Jack Shore is going to be your play. It's really about how much you can tolerate to play of him. I'm going to probably try to be underweight or just on weight. I'll probably be more on weight. I think underweight might not be a smart idea because he might put up a big score here. And even though this card does have a few fights that could score high, I think this is one that you want. So Jack Shore is going to be the pick here. We're going to keep moving. Next up, we have Liana Joju going up against Diana Belbita. This is a women's flyweight fight here. Currently, it looks like Belbita is the... Let's see here. Currently, Belbita is... minus 165. I think it might have gone up a little bit. She might be closer to like 190 or something like that right now. I don't have her updated odds, but she's going to be your favorite. This one is interesting. I think this one's got sneaky GPP upside. Reason being is because, I don't think it'd be sneaky because I think a lot of people would be on Belbita. She lands a bunch of significant strikes per minute. Joju is basically going to be a fade, she does have like some real dumb fluke submission upside. Like something crazy could happen. And this fight does have a plus 125 inside the distance prop, which is not, usually for these types of fights, you get a real low a real high number. So you'll see like a +3, +400s and stuff like that. So plus 125 it's pretty low. So that means this fight could end early. So I think I want some of that. I want a piece of that. Belbita is going to be the play here. I'll have a little bit of Jojua just for hedge, and that's going to be how I'll roll with that one. And then next up, we have Chris Fishgold going up against Jared Gordon. This is an interesting fight here. Fishgold needs to finish this fight in the first couple of minutes. If he doesn't, I don't know what's going to happen. And he also missed weight, so I don't know how that cardio is going to look. It's going to be even worse now, probably. Gordon should style here. This one's got a minus 177 inside the distance prop. And Gordon is your favorite here in the minus 141. Currently, he is, he is 8,300 and Chris Fishgold is 7,900. And my apologies if we jump back. Belbita is 8,600 and Joju is 7,600. So I also like the price tag on both of those ladies. Either one of them, if they get a big score, they're going to be optimal. It'll be interesting to see what Belbita's ownership is. But we'll jump back forward. You got Chris Fishgold, 7,900, and Jared Gordon, 8,300. Gordon's the pick here. If it goes any longer than 2 minutes, and Fishgold doesn't knock him out early, Jared Gordon should run away with this, to be honest. He might put up a decent score, too. He does land a lot of significant strikes per minute. So he's an interesting pick here. He's going to be the play. 8,300, you could do worse. There you go. Next up, we have Modestus Bukauskas going up against Andreas Michalidis, and this is a light heavyweight fight, so these are somewhat some big boys here. Boustakis is currently the 177 favorite, so it's gone down just a little bit throughout the week. This does have a huge inside the distance prop of -335. Andreas is super aggressive early. He's super cheap. I think he should have some ownership as well. This is just a good GPP fight to target. You know, right now it's basically sitting at a pick'em. So there's a lot of money that's coming in Andreas. But I think Andreas has really just got the you know, like, he's gonna be aggressive. He's probably got the power advantage. If it can go more than the round, I give it to Modestus. Then that's how I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna have a lot of ownership to both of these guys. I think the price tag is too cheap on Andreas. 9K is also you could do worse for Modestus as well. So I'll have some ownership to him as well. Next up, we have Laron Murphy going up against Ricardo Ramos. This is gonna be a good fight here. Ricardo Ramos has got a lot of hype behind him. He is currently the favorite at -160. And coming back, looks like he is also 8,800 on DraftKings. 7,400 for Laron Murphy, +140 dog there. And, I mean, this one, this is going to be a good fight here. It's kind of hard to tell as far as DraftKings is concerned. I think this is one that I'll probably try to limit my ownership to. And we'll see where my chips fall there. But yeah, I mean, Ricardo Ramos is probably gonna do his thing here. He's decent. He's got good takedown defense. You know what I mean? Like, the numbers are looking all right. I think this is a fight though that you might want to have a little bit of ownership to both of these guys. 8,800 is a lot for me for Ricardo Ramos. I just feel like that's a lot. Yeah, he's got the upside, but it's just a lot, I feel like, and you got some spots that you might want to pick. But with things getting funky on this card, you know, he's definitely the play here. I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to have a significant amount, but I'll try to limit mine. I'll probably have hedge amount of Murphy, and that's going to be it. Next up, we have Kazmat Chimaev, there we go, going up against John Phillips. This is a middleweight fight. John Phillips is 7,300. Chimaev is 8,900. Chimaev is definitely going to be the play here. This one's got another huge inside the distance prop at -455. Chimaev is the huge favorite at -400 currently. I mean, you know, you got John Phillips, who basically is going to swing bombs and just swing bombs, but Chimaev is going to be the more technical. I mean, he's just going to be the better. He's just better. Like, there's not much more to tell you. He's just better. He's going to be the pick. If you're going to play some John Phillips, you're going to play him as hedge ownership, and I'll be doing that just a little bit, like minimal. Chimaev is going to be the pick here, and that's why it's going to be hard to play like Ricardo Ramos right before him at 8,800. You got Chimaev at 8,900, and that's it's chuff. All right, next up we have Abdul Razak Al-Hassan going up against Malnir Lazez. This is a welterweight fight. This one's going to be pretty easy to break down as well. This one also has another huge inside the distance prop. So you're going to have to pick and choose. You can't play all these fights with these inside the distance prop. And I can tell you that one of them is not going to go. One of them is not going to finish early. But this one is definitely interesting. Not much to tell you either. Abdul Razak Hassan, he's going to be the play here. He's 9,200. I don't think Lazez has much for him. I know that Hassan, I think he came in a little heavy, but that's all right. He's 9,200. That's a little expensive. So I'll probably be just on weight, or I'll probably be a little bit underweight to him. I'm interested to see what his ownership will be. I think he'll carry some ownership here. But yeah, he's the pick. And if you're going to play Lazez, you're playing him just for hedge. And yeah, you can keep it moving. Next up, we have Talia Santos going up against Molly McCann. Meatball. Meatball's been looking good. She's 8,200 and Talia Santos is 8K. This is going to be a good fight here. Talia did not look good against Mara Romero. Romero Barella, she looked real bad, to tell you the truth. Looked like she just, I don't know, she kind of pulled a stunt, to tell you the truth. And I'm wondering if she's going to pull another stunt, because she looked really good coming out. So, but Molly is, you know, like, Molly's the play here. She scores really well when she wins. She throws a lot. She lands a lot. She's got the takedowns. She's more experienced. I just think she's going to be the better play here. But that price tag, and also Molly currently is it's basically a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em here. So Vegas doesn't know. The price tags don't know. So I'll have some ownership to Santos as well. But I don't think this one. I don't think this one's going to end early. And I think the only reason it scores well is because Molly probably will do her thing, get some takedowns, get a bunch of significant strikes, and just do her thing. But she's definitely the pick here. She is only 8,200. So, yeah, there you go. It won't take much. All right, next up we have Jimmy Rivera going up against Cody Stamann. Yeah, this is pretty much a fade fight for me. If you're going to play anybody, it's going to be Stamann. But I don't like Jimmy here. Yeah, I just don't like him here, and there's just not much really to tell you. I won't blame you if you're going to play him, though. And if you're going to play him, I'd limit him to, like, you know, like 15, 20, 25% of your lineups if you're getting ballsy. He just doesn't have – like, this just isn't a matchup where he's going to score well, I don't think, even in a victory. I think it could just be a low-scoring fight. And on the flip side, I do think if Cody Stamann wins this fight, it's, you know, it's going to be – he probably should score pretty decent. So, you know, with that being said, you know, Jimmy's pretty much a fade there. I think my boy E's with me on that, pretty much a fade on Jimmy. And, yeah, we'll keep it moving. All right, next up in the co-main event, you got Tim Elliott in the co-main event. Crazy, man. Tim Elliott hasn't won a fight in, like, 5 years. It's like, no, I'm just playing, but he really hasn't won a fight in, like, 3 years, though. And he, I guess he's only fought a few times, but still, I mean, it's L. He did take an L against Figueroa, so you can't really blame him against that. But it's been L's for this guy pretty much. But I mean, he's got a decent matchup, I guess you could say, if we're looking at numbers. He's going up against Ryan Benoit here. Ryan Benoit 7,700, and Tim Elliott is 8,500, and Tim Elliott is currently let's see, XFC's got sitting at about 160, but I want to see if that's still this. Yeah, he's about 140. So he's five dimes has him at minus 145 currently. So he's still, you know, he's still favored, which is interesting. Basically, this fight's going to go one of two ways. Either Tim Elliott's going to be able to get the takedowns, because at least if we're looking at numbers, Benoit does not have good takedown defense. His numbers really aren't very good. I don't really like it, to tell you the truth. And you know, I kind of feel like I don't want to overload on Benoit either. He's definitely going to be the best dog on the card. He's the best value on the card. I just, you know, if this doesn't go to the ground, and if this stays up and he touches Timmy at all, like, it's night. So, I mean, because the dude is powerful. He's got hands, and he's real strong. I mean, that's his game. But Tim, man, he's going to look for the relentless takedowns. You know, he's probably going to gas out, but even when he gasses, he still is just rolling around out there and kind of doing his thing. He's just got a funky style. It's hard to figure out at first, too. So things could always get interesting there. Did get a new contract, and I'm not really sure why. And I mean, shit, they gave him a new contract, and then he's got a co-main event on Fight Island 1. So let's get it. But Benoit's going to be my pick here, but do not overlook Tim Elliott. I'll have some shares of Tim Elliott as well. Next up, and here in the main event, and I think we're going to be, pushing about, what, like 15 minutes or something like that here. So not too shabby for a quick pod, especially on a card like this. But yeah, so you have Calvin Kattar going up against Dan Ige. This is a good fight, man. This is a really good fight. Minus 200 inside the distance prop. This is pretty much an all-in fight for me. And Calvin Kattar's, you know, I'm going to have as much of him as I possibly can. And then what I don't have of Calvin Kattar, I'm going to hedge with Dan Ige. That's pretty much how I'm going to do it. There's not much more to tell you. I mean, other than, you know, I think there's a lot of hype coming in behind Calvin Kattar, and for good reason. You know, you also got Dan Ige, who's done nothing but win fights since 2018, and he's looked good doing it. So this is going to be a real good scrap. But Calvin Kattar, coming off that Jeremy Stephens KO, just looked real good. I mean, he lost his beat, but you can't blame him. It went three rounds, and he just looked real good. And when he wins, he usually is going to score pretty well too. So yeah, this is just an all-in fight for me. There's no reason for you not to have it pretty much in all your lineups. Don't stack it, of course, in GPP, but pick one or the other, and then pray pretty much. but yeah, this is a card I would say go somewhat light on. I do think that there's some opportunity still for some money to be made. So you know, I won't tell you to go super duper 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 light, but I will say go light, because we do have another card coming up on Saturday. It's a way better card, a lot better plays, just, you know, a lot there's things that are more predictable, I could say, but unpredictable is not always a bad thing. You know, especially if you're playing GPPs, which I am, and I'll probably be playing about 50, 60, you know, today. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, other than that, hopefully you guys have a good day. Hopefully you guys make some money and enjoy some midweek fights, some Wednesday fights on Fight Island out there in Abu Dhabi. Other than that, it's your boy Sway Matt coming at you for the Hammer Fist UFC Fight Island 1. Peace.